Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutin.
Welcome to Consider This, the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. State politics taking center stage today. We will be speaking to political analysts late in the show to help put into context what is happening in Kedah and Melaka and Johor. But first, in other news, Putrajaya has defended yesterday's raid by the Immigration Department targeting undocumented migrants. About 1,000 undocumented migrants were arrested by authorities in early morning raid yesterday in the areas surrounding the wholesale market in Selayang. Datuk Seri Ismail Sabri Yaakob said that such raid operations are normal and that the arrests were made in accordance with the law. But I think, Sharad, the real issue here isn't about whether or not the arrests were lawful or whether or not the workers had valid papers. For me, the main question is really, what is the current priority of the government? Is it gaining the cooperation of the migrant worker community to help combat COVID-19? Or is it about upholding immigration laws at the moment?
Yeah, it's interesting because it seems the senior minister was taking umbrage at the criticism coming from human rights advocates. But in fact, in Malaysia, it's been the public health advocates who have been very consistent in sort of framing the issue of undocumented workers and migrant workers at large for us and in terms of our response to COVID-19. So with them, it was very clear at this point in time, what was necessary is not to to terrify anybody or any community into not wanting to cooperate with the authorities, whether it was a tablet group or whether it's the undocumented workers. Cooperation is necessary, especially for a community, if you can think of them as a community, that numbers in the millions.
Yes.
So what, Melissa, does this signal send out?
Yes.
Does it send mixed signals to the worker and undocumented community around the question of cooperation?
Yeah, I mean, you've rounded up 1,000 undocumented workers, but what does it say? What are the repercussions to the millions of other undocumented workers now driven underground for fear of being rounded up to check the validity of their papers?
Melissa, there's also this really interesting, I think, approach, and it distinguishes public health advocates from politicians. Public health, I think, advocates seem very pragmatic. They recognize that the virus doesn't see nationality, doesn't see, you know,
It doesn't discriminate.
It just gets into the community and it's breaking the transmission. As you say, the chain of transmission, that's the most important thing. So that seems to be their approach. Whereas politicians perhaps are torn between other kinds of priorities, including playing to the gallery. Mm. And this time, the rising xenophobia promoted by some other politicians, promoted by some segments of the media, in order to find a scapegoat, maybe a whipping boy in these trying times.
Yes, an easy scapegoat, right? And the questions remain, I mean, just a pragmatic sense, Sharad, where is the government going to put these thousands of undocumented workers that they've rounded up now? And, you know, an option of sending them home is not really a feasible option at the moment. Borders are closed, so they have to remain in the country. So you're trying to contain everyone in one period. Can you observe social distancing? All that, I think, epidemiologists have pointed out.
Yeah, right. Melissa, also very quickly to note, I also said that, you know, at this point in time, the authorities are going to get much tougher on violations of the MCO, you know, in terms of social distancing and compliance with the SOPs. One of the punishments, it goes up to 6 months in jail. And do we really want to be putting people in jail at this point in time? And this question was raised when they had the special prisons or detention areas for violators. Again, this very kind of authoritarian default mode that we have in the government surfacing again in their approach. Is this the right way to actually proceed?
All right, speaking about things that are resurfacing, Human Resource Minister Datuk Seri M. Saravanan has advised Malaysians to change their mindset when it comes to jobs and to accept any work they can get. According to Saravanan, it is better to work in what the government has labelled the 3D jobs than to be unemployed. Now, the 3D stands for dirty, dangerous and difficult jobs. According to the minister, he claims that there are enough job opportunities, Malaysians just need to accept them. But the question remains, what has prevented Malaysians from taking these jobs before? It is the same old issue being raised once again, Sharad.
Yeah, you know, we returned to an earlier discourse about the 3D jobs when there was discussions about how to shift things around when it comes to the foreign worker population. We don't really seem to have a coherent policy when it comes to foreign workers. Never mind the enforcement and, you know, the perhaps porous borders that we have, or corruption within certain in ministries or authorities that allow for such influx coming in. But I think, Melissa, there's this other thing, right, which is that when we last talked about 3D jobs, the world was a very different place.
Sure.
Malaysia now suffering high levels of unemployment and the prospects of a global recession, coupled with the, you know, the needs for social distancing and affecting the retail and factories. All that.
I agree. It's a different
context.
I agree. It's a different time, Sharad. But I'm curious to know what the minister means in terms of where these jobs are coming from. You know, shifting migrant labour out of which sectors? It would be also curious to know what kind of timeline he's thinking about. Perhaps we need him to further elaborate, because, you know, changes in labour market is not going to happen overnight, particularly not in the short term. So wondering, particularly in these difficult times, how this is going to actually all pan out.
Yeah, I mean, the minister's opened up a very important conversation, really, when it comes to, and to be fair to him, he did say that, you know, employers have to take responsibility for providing incentives to get Malaysians to work for them, improving working conditions, improving wages, which have been actually the structural impediments to more Malaysians coming into certain sectors of the economy, right? So that is where we're back at, which is wage suppression, you know, minimum wage, better deals for Malaysian workers that will incentivize them to return to or go get into certain sectors. Also, maybe incentives that we need to think about in terms of encouraging and, you know, enterprises to open their doors to local labour.
I think it's worth a longer conversation about the complexities of the labour market, particularly in this time. Unemployment up by 17.1% in March. It is now at a 34-year high. We spoke to Charles Santiago, MP of Klang, last week, and he mentioned that, you know, it's the 20 to 30-year-old age bracket. They are the ones, the largest group of those being laid off. So I think it's worth taking a closer look on that.
The minister, he did say, you know, this is the time to put aside your plans and your dreams. Very painful statement there, I think, for any politician to make, saying we just have to be pragmatic. But, of course, let's see if the government has a real plan, on a granular level, a real plan to make this happen.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. After this, we'll take a closer look at the political instability at state levels. Stay tuned to consider this.